Okay. Hey.
Catch a vibe. We're gonna get you to the other side. Going you way back to the time. Reminisce and relax your mind. And catch a vibe.
Catch a vibe like a throwback. You with the bridge, about to turn it up. Picture perfect, no Kodak. And ain't no holdbacks. We getting real, getting raunchy. We bridge millennials, baby. We keep it saucy.
What's good, all the homies out there? We're back. Welcome back to the Bridge Millennial Podcast. If this is your first time with us, the Bridge Millennial Podcast is the shared perspective of the Bridge Millennial generation on culture, media, mental health, and society. My name is Shannon Ashlea. What's good?
What's up? What's up? And I'm Rob. How y'all doing?
We have a special episode for you today. All right. And this is especially for my people. If you're new with us this season, if you just discovered us, you might be wondering what we're really about, right? So we decided to put together, drum roll, please, a best of season one episode.
Yes, so, and I'm so excited. We got some hot clips for y'all today, so you get to know what the Bridge is all about. It's kind of like you actually being like inducted into the family. You got to kind of like know what's been going on.
Absolutely. And I mean, what better way to be inducted for us to give you just a little rundown of some of our favorite segments from our freshman season. So yes, whoop whoop. And let's go ahead and get into it. What's our first clip? What you got for us, Rob?
Okay, our first segment is one of our faves with one of our favorite guests. We got into a really deep conversation, kind of sexy conversation, with one of our glitch homies, Awade. So check this out.
Yes, the conversation got very embarrassing. Okay, so that was amazing. I want to go ahead and move into our next segment, because this time we're gonna learn a little bit more about Awade, hopefully. And a little bit more about some of you all's past. So I already told you all, this is giving red light. Look, yes, Rob.
I'm making my drink,
this is, honey. Yes, this is giving red light district.
Red light district time. Plus the past. Whew.
Yes. So let me
this might have to go on Patreon. List. Oh yeah, yeah. Go ahead. Do your thing.
Let me put on my bedroom voice. Okay. Let's go ahead and just slide into the red light district.
I want to be touched and feel it so much, because everybody needs some good loving.
Yeah, if I need it in the morning or middle of the night, I have to find the red
light. Okay, all right. Isn't it though? Every time it comes on, I'll be like, All right, y'all. So this is about to be story time. So, in honor of Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody out there.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy V-Day for all the lovers out there. Single or not, we all could be lovers, okay? I want to know a little bit about your past. So, the first question I'm going to see if you all will share is about your first kiss. And I'm talking about like your first real kiss. Ooh, Awade's making a face. She's like, nah, it was not worth sharing. Well, regardless, it don't have to be romantic, because mine ain't. But I'll go ahead and break that seal, and I'll go first. Are y'all ready to talk about your first kiss?
Yeah.
We don't have to use names. We don't have to. We can use aliases. Yeah. But you know, I'm good for calling a motherfucker out on here.
Me too. Shit. This is my time.
Period.
Right.
Purr.
I'm gonna go ahead and call. I highly doubt they'd be listening.
Watch me blow up and everybody listen to all of these episodes.
Okay. You see what they do to Joe Rogan? They will look your shit back up.
Yeah, they did to everybody. Joe Rogan, Bill Cosby. They gonna get them.
Okay. Right. So it's like this. Have you guys ever had like my actual very first kiss for real, like in the mouth? I barely remember it. I was so young, and this is gonna sound so bad, but I went to a Christian school, and it was like we were on a trip, and it was like on a bus. I'm pretty sure there were parents on this bus as well. But I can't really talk about it because I don't remember it. But actually, my first kiss, like, since then was in high school. And it was also on a bus. So when I was in high school, my freshman year, I was in the band all 4 years, but I danced for the last 3 years, and I was a clarinet in the band. And we were on our way back from a game. There was a really, really cute guy that I was so into at the time. His name was Justin. So shout out, Justin, if you're out there, you know who you are. And I'm just going to say Justin at the time definitely wasn't shit. And I mean, when we were freshmen... I'm not going to get put your whole government on here, but Justin, you know who you are. But it was like all of us, you know, as freshmen, we were skipping around. We were in new relationships every week. So we were together for maybe 5 whole days. But it was a cute 5 days. And I just remember being on the band bus. I was in my uniform, not cute at all. I had... remember when those little kinky twists first came out? I had kinky twists. And we were on the bus on the way back. It was dark, and he like moved one of my kinky twists to the side. Cause you know, we black, so I had a kinky twist like in my face. He like moved it to the side, and he gave me the nastiest, sloppiest kiss. Like, he pretty much ate my face, and I didn't know at that time, I didn't know what to do, because it was it was like my first kiss, and I just was like, is that the way it was supposed to go?
That's like how mine went. That's why I'm making the face, because it was just right. Like...
That was not right. And I'm like, okay, so then I learned later that's definitely not how it was supposed to go. But I never forget that moment. My whole face was wet, my chin, my lip, like my nose. It was not giving what it was supposed to give, but it was the first. And I can't take that away from you, Justin. So. Kudos to you. Snap. That's my first kiss story.
Well, we didn't have the internet, so it's not like we had porn on Twitter, you know what I'm saying?
Fair.
We didn't know what we were doing, so no. it's okay. I don't blame you, boo. All right, who's next?
I'll go next.
Be brave, Rob.
So did y'all see the movie Hitched? First of all, that's important to the story.
Hitch. Absolutely.
With Will Smith.
Everybody's seen that movie.
Okay. So my first kiss, I was in high school and definitely was cutting school. Was whole cutting school all up in Brooklyn with this girl. We'll call her Joanne. We'll call her Joanne. Okay. We had just started like dating and stuff. We had already known each other, like been cool, but we had just started dating, and we were both hella awkward because we were actually friends. So it was like, you know, like it was feeling kind of weird for a while, but we knew that we had to get past that, like get over that bridge, because you got to get past the weirdness. So we were at her house, and we were just like watching stuff on TV, and we were watching Hitched, and I really loved that movie. So we was watching and just like talking about it and stuff like that. And y'all remember where he said that the perfect kiss, you go in 90% and she comes the other 10%, right? So
Right.
After we watched the movie, we was getting ready to leave. We were going somewhere. And I saw that while we were walking to the train station, she was putting on mad lip gloss and just mad, like, gear. I'm like, what? So at that point, I'm like, okay, now, like, I'm going to have to, like, somehow finesse my way into this first kiss situation. Sweating bullets, y'all. I've never had sweaty palms before, but... y'all, sweating bullets. I'm like, I don't know what is going to happen. I don't know what is going to happen. So we get upstairs and we are sitting and waiting for the train. And against my greater common sense, I said something smooth. And then she was laughing. And then I closed my eyes and leaned in 90%. And I was sitting there for a minute. But eventually she did come the other 10 and it was kissing. Damn. And it was actually a great kiss. It was great. We both had flavored chapstick, so it tastes amazing. There was not too much slobber and sloppiness, and we were kissing for quite a long time. And then we wound up getting on a train and getting acquainted for a really long time. And yeah, so that was like an excellent first kiss.
So your shout first kiss turned into a makeout session.
Yeah, okay. It was a whole sesh. It was a whole sesh. That's when I realized that I was a little bit gifted. And talented.
Let's go Rob, all right, Awade, let's go. What you got for us?
I don't have a transportation story. Y'all are on the bus, on the train. Mine was in my neighbor, because we both went to different schools, but we ran on like the same club team. So I would like tell my mom I'm running down the street, but I would go to his house.
Okay.
And then we were on that awkward basement couch situation. We're like watching something, and he leaned in, and it was very similar to Shannon. It was just wet mouth. Like, it was too much. It was too much. He's asking me to touch things. I was not prepared.
Hold on, wait a minute now.
I was very sheltered. So I was like, what is going on? You've done enough.
Yikes.
I wouldn't have been able to handle that on my first kiss either. Nah.
Like, that's a lot. That's a lot.
I was like, I don't know what grade I was in, but I definitely was like not ready to see the whole package. But yeah, we ended up like hooking up that summer like multiple times, but the kissing stayed pretty sloppy.
Yikes.
And then the same thing, like later I was like, this isn't normal. This is not how it's supposed to be.
Right. Wow. But you don't have anything to compare it to at that point. So
right.
That's so crazy. I later on in life realized how good of a kisser she was by having other people kiss me and try to devour my nose. And I'm like, we're in our 20s at this point. There's no reason for you to Scooby snack my face. That's not required. It's not the assignment. It's not sexy. It's fucking weird. And if it's a breeze outside, it feels gross. So.
Okay. You know, I find that a lot of people well into their 20s and maybe into their 30s, like, remain bad kissers because people don't say anything. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and I have had full boyfriends who I've had to train and be like, listen, this is not the way. You need to do this. You need to do that, because, and it's like, I don't love you any less, but like, this has to be fixed. And if we don't stay together, you cannot live your life like this, going around thinking that this is okay. Acceptable. Like, you know, those people that just stick their tongue out and don't do nothing else.
Like self-awareness, babe.
What y'all mean? Just stick like for a kid. Oh, that's it.
Like, and they go out and they actually go in for the kiss with their tongue out.
Mm-hmm. Like, and you're like, what are you doing?
Wow.
Y'all, if there are some bad kissers in your life, do the next person a favor. Please teach them what the fuck to do. Don't be fake. Don't talk about them behind their back, talking about how bad of a kisser they are. Just fix them. Fix them for us, please.
Virgo Moon speaking.
Yes. No, seriously. You need step-by-step instructions? I got you. Okay. We'll get through this together. The next clip is going to be from our favorite, well, actually not our favorite, but your favorite episode. This was the episode with the highest number of plays just of all time. And I feel like this was because this episode was for my singles. So we're going to throw it back to a way back when segment from our episode, I Caught Single. The way I see it is people live several different lives within their lifespan. And your life could be totally different from what you've known. But I feel like you said earlier, you are the common factor in that, and a place is not going to change you. So I will say, if you can't be successful, let's say in Atlanta, moving to DC is not really going to be any different if you don't change, or if you don't, you know, follow the steps that are going to help you reach your goals. So moving to DC was like, I remember I first got up here, even the way that people talk to you on the street was like totally different. Like in Atlanta, if a dude tries to talk to you on the street and you're not feeling it and you reject him, he'll be like, all right, you know what, sweetheart, have a great day. That's all right. You know, have a blessed day. But like up here, if you rejected somebody, they would be like, hey, yo, fuck you, bitch, and all this other stuff. And it's like, I would be so scared. And so when I first, I guess, made my first friend who was familiar with this area, she told me like, yeah, you have to be really nice. Like, you know, just take it in stride, because they are going to go on the attack if you do not want to talk to them. So that was like one of the first things I remember being like, what is going on? The second thing I remember was the music. So, you know, where Howard is, back in the day when I went to Howard, it was still pretty much the hood. So people will be playing go-go music on the street, and I had never heard of go-go. So I'm just listening to this loud music blaring. I'm listening to these people sing versions of songs that I know, but they sound different. And that was like a culture shock for me. And lastly, the weather was out of control. Like, it was extremely humid. That's not something that I'm used to. In Atlanta, it was not humid like that. So I instantly got sick within maybe a month of being there. I got sick as a dog. Like, I could not get out of bed. And I just feel like getting acclimated to the weather was really hard. But it also, just in general, it felt like I was really becoming who I wanted to be. Like, I was really becoming a woman. And I feel like sometimes you cannot do that in the place that you were born. I don't think that it's impossible, but sometimes you have to get yourself out of a certain environment to see how you would react to new things. So I wanted to talk about that because we're talking about 2022. We're talking about a fresh start and new beginnings, and you don't have to move to do that. But I think there is a certain mindset that goes along with it.
Absolutely. One thing that you brought up, which was such a great point, is that it's inside of you. It's not necessarily in your environment. And to people that's not from New York, they still have like the crystal staircase idea of New York City. And the things that you see and think about when you think New York City is just really some parts of Manhattan and a few parts of Brooklyn. So that's not really even half of New York. And I don't know. I think there comes a time in our lives where we realize that New York ain't the city of dreams. It's the city of somebody's dream, but it ain't the city of everybody's dream. We're all being a part of somebody else's dream, essentially, because New York business is so old. New York is a legacy empire. There aren't many fresh start places in New York. Business success is old money. It's old and it's not going nowhere. So there are ways to become a part of that world, but I feel like it just becomes really self-sacrificing, and most people that are native to New York are leaving, you know, and they're just like, this is ridiculous. You know, I am a New Yorker and I feel like I'm going to hustle like a New Yorker anywhere that I go. And I don't know if that's the same for everybody, but I don't think it necessarily has anything to do with New York. I'm ambitious. I'm a dreamer. I am my own city of dreams. I'm a dream in any city that I'm in, and I'm going to make it pop if I need to make it pop. I'm going to make it happen, you know? So it just reminds me of like back in the day when like immigrants would come to America thinking that America was like this crystal staircase and there was gold plated roads, and they got here and was like, y'all dead ass? Like this is what y'all giving? New York is very much like that. I also remember getting to a place where I was like, it's got to be more to life than New York. You know, I've been here for what, 20 some, almost 30 years. It got to be something else. You know, life can't just be Wall Street. It can't just be 42nd. It can't just be the pizza spot. You know, there has to be more. And I've always wanted to experience new cultures, possibly learn new languages. I want to experience the world as much as I possibly can while I am still here. Because when my spirit leaves and move on, I'm not coming back to this bitch. Earth is ghetto. I ain't coming back. That was great. I want to spin it over to one of my favorite guests and one of our favorite conversations. This happened, I think, last year around Black History Month. And we got into a really deep conversation about the psychology of being woke and asking a lot of questions about what actually constitutes as being woke. This is the Sunken Place episode with Cachet Chris, aka Chris Noel. I could go online and find evidence that aliens exist, and I can find evidence that they don't exist. It really just comes down to a very basic principle coming from Socrates, quoted by Jay-Z: whose bias do you seek?
Facts. Don't it make you think of kind of like Olivia Pope? It's giving Scandal, how she was about controlling the narrative. Like, yes, this thing happened, but let's change the narrative. If we can change the narrative and control the narrative, that's all you need. You can control everything by controlling the narrative. And it doesn't matter what reality really was, especially when it comes to celebrity news. Like, it's what they want you to think, you know? It's stay woke, y'all. Exactly. Stay woke, not fake woke.
And things move so fast. And I love how, I love this conversation that, you know, we are having right now in regards to being woke. And I know we mentioned a lot of the outside of yourself sources, like the media and the governments, but to someone, and I love how you say, do your research. But if someone isn't woke within, they wouldn't even know what to look for. So I would like to add, come within. So here's a shameless plug. I read The Moses Code. And when I say that book changed my life in a profound way, I'm on my fourth time reading it. And every time I read it, it's like something different. But Shannon mentioned The Shade Room earlier. I was one of them on The Shade Room, looking at world stars, seeing, you know, just like, not necessarily I was in that space, but it was like entertainment for me, right? And then after a while, it's like it just didn't feel right. And sometimes like my spirit wanted more. My mind pushed me to do more, for as, you know, just fully being aware of surroundings. But I can't be fully aware of my surroundings and things that I'm absorbing if I'm not fully aware of myself. So a lot of that comes from waking up from within, what feels right, you know. And then once you get that self, I'm telling you, once you get that self-awareness of yourself, you already can see things like, let me do my research on this, because it's giving suppression, it's giving racism, you know, it's giving Willie Lynch. What is this?
And even all of that.
All old shows, and I hate to bring this up, but I'm going to have to. Good Times. Oh my gosh. Mm. That show was created by a white man, if you want to say Jewish, whatever the case maybe, but it, like, to me, that whole show was really just be happy with being poor. Why do I have to be happy with being poor, Florida? Damn, we almost out. And it was like so many different episodes where they were pushing, like, they bring in the religion,
talk about it,
go down that road, but they bring in the Christianity aspect.
We got time.
It just used to bug me, and I'm like, what is this? Like, how did this even make it? But that show was used to. I feel that the show was used to target Black people, to target that mindset. Like, yeah, you struggling? Be happy with it. Don't want for more. So you're constantly given that, again, like we've been talking all this while about media and stuff being pressed out. But if you aren't aware of yourself and aren't open or woke within, you won't be able to, you know, see what's wrong outside of you, because inside of you isn't all the way connected.
Absolutely. I mean, come on, some snaps for that, because I feel like it's even in the name Good Times, it's ironic.
The name is ironic.
You know.
Hey, there was outline. There was no good time. There was no good times had. Okay.
He's a clear to rip off. There ain't no damn good time.
Good time. Right.
So we just to bring it back, that is a part of psychological warfare, that building new associations is a part of psychological. There's a reason why when you guys see red, you feel like urgent, emergency. That was not done by accident. So, and this conversation is giving you some information for free 99. Trying to wake that ass up. you know. But I want to just circle back to, whose bias do you seek? How much woken do you need to do to be free? Being woke is not being free. There's a space in slavery for woke people. It's called in the house.
A dream within a dream. You know, and it's crazy that you say, Chris, when you were talking about going inside, it reminds me of something that Deepak Chopra says. Deepak Chopra, if you all didn't know, he's a spiritual teacher. We love Deepak. We love Deepak. And actually, he has a meditation called 21 Days of Abundance. This would be a perfect time to do that right now for you guys. I did it at the beginning of the pandemic in 2020. It definitely changed my life. But Deepak says, vibrate deeper, because everybody's trying to vibrate higher, you know, but you need to vibrate deeper within yourself and learn and feel your ancestry and think about who you are. And then you think about who they tell you you are. And let's just see how it aligns. Is it the same? Is it authentic? Do you feel like you are who they're saying you are? Like, you know, it goes back to, look at Rob. It goes back to, I think, I hate to bring this up, but I think of Love and Hip Hop. I started boycotting Love and Hip Hop years ago. It was something that, like, in my household, like when I was living with my ex-boyfriend, shout out to Carlton. We're actually really good friends, but I was living with him and another friend of ours. That would be like, okay, ratchet Thursdays. I can't remember what day it came on, but we would have those ratchet nights where we're like, okay, we watching this shit. We love this shit. But it got to a point where I did start to get deeper in tune with myself. And that shit, like you said, Chris, it just didn't feel right. It didn't feel right because I'm going to just be honest. That shit's not me. You know, and it's like, yes.
Modern day menstrual show.
Oh, for real.
It's modern day blackface, and that's what it is. Some things we couldn't talk about before, but this we could talk about. Modern day, like,
housewives, especially Atlanta housewives. It's like, yeah, they go off on these other housewife shows, but you realize that Atlanta is the most popular. Potomac, those are the most popular because they have black people and black women act in a certain way. That is quality entertainment for them. And it's quality entertainment for a lot of black people, but you have to separate yourself from the entertainment and really look inside and be like, wait a minute, is this a dream within a dream? Is this real?
But this is what Willie Lynch said. It removed their will to resist. So this is going to be my last little piece of tidbit, I promise, because I'm trying, Shan. I'm trying.
We're going.
You know I'm trying. Okay.
I see your face.
You know I'm trying. Like, I'm trying. So the one thing that I remind people, and I'm not a religious person. I'm a very spiritual person. Although I grew up with a religious background, I don't consider myself religion. But one thing that always stuck with me that people just bypass. And it's the most powerful thing that I've ever heard. The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he does not exist. And if you want people to not resist, you will convince them that there's no reason to.
If you've been with us all season, you know that Rob is completely obsessed and enamored with Lakeith Stanfield.
Lies.
And I bet some of you are wondering where that obsession stems from. Well, I got receipts. I got receipts in this next clip.
Yeah, these receipts are definitely going to show your obsession with Lakeith Stanfield and them damn stockings. Listen,
I know I brought it up, but I know you finished it. So let's get into the clip, everybody. That's fair. People are afraid. They're afraid of the unknown. They're afraid of things that are different. And sometimes there's no real rhyme or reason to that other than their fear is driving their actions. And it's really sad. It's sad. We talked about fear and how powerful it can be. Because like you said, why do you care? But it's the fear of the unknown, and it's the fear of not having control, which I don't know why you want to have control over other people's children's lives. Like, worry about your life and your progeny. But anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of this does come down to concepts of things that we've heard before: internalized racism, internalized homophobia. I think for the most part, we generally have an understanding that it is a form of self-hatred. However, you can experience internalized homophobic without identifying as homosexual, queer, or anything that is non-binary. I think that there's always been debate on whether or not this is a true quote-unquote phobia or if it's an intolerance. And it really just depends on where that fear is based in. Is this based in a belief system that something bad is going to happen by empowering people of different genders or of different races? Are you afraid of an uprising? Are you afraid? Like, what are you afraid of in terms of that? Or is it internalized in regards to you're trying to suppress those feelings in your own self and you don't want to live in a world where you're triggered to feel those things that you don't want to feel?
Sips tea. It might be either or a little bit of both for people, because that's the thing. There are a lot of people who will never have the courage to explore how they feel, who will never have the courage to explore the things that they're truly interested in or the things that truly inflame them, if you will. That's extremely sad. We already know that being yourself is the most courageous thing that you can do.
Sadly.
Period.
It shouldn't be, but it is. It should not be, but it is. And because of that, I feel like I was having a conversation with someone. I can't remember exactly who, but we were saying it's so crazy how believing in yourself comes naturally to some people, but it's like the scariest thing to do for others. And I do think that some of this suppression of diversity comes from fear of being overpowered, fear of the majority becoming the minority, and fear of a greater portion of
the company, it's a business, baby.
Yeah, and a part of that business mindset is keeping employees an employee mindset and managers in a manager mindset. And I feel like one way that we do that as a country is that we convince the whole world that there's only one way to succeed or one way to exist, and we try to punish everything else. So when we get to a place of a world where not only are they affirming different ways of being, but affirming the idea that it's okay to look for a different way of being, it lends itself away from the company.
Yeah, because they can't dictate what you're going to want, so they can't sell you things.
Yeah.
You know, it trickles down. It's always about the green. Let's talk about that at the end of the day. If they don't know their customers, if their customers are doing this and there's nothing to corral, corral them into thinking a certain way, there's no way that they're going to manipulate what you're going to buy, what you're going to believe in, where you're going to spend your money. And that can be really dangerous.
Yeah. There's such a big difference between free speech and free thought. I think I speak a lot to this because oftentimes we don't understand that even with our free speech, we've been programmed to think a certain way. So our thoughts aren't as free. Our thoughts are just as dictated as, you know what I mean? And sometimes it just manifests in this way where we feel like we're exercising liberation because we're practicing free speech, but we're not liberated. We're still trapped because our thoughts are programmed into us based on the things that we consume. It's really sad. But what I really like is that there are these young people that are really taking control of how they see the world. They are not conforming to this global brand. I think that within a few generations, that's going to definitely dissipate. While there are trendier things and stuff like that, identity is starting to become its own thing. It's becoming its own journey, its own process. You'll notice that people are changing their language, which is amazing. A lot of people refer to their significant others as their partner, whether they're in a same-sex or opposite-sex relationship or a gender nonconforming relationship. Just the language alone is kind of lending itself for some senses of unity, which I really definitely appreciate. So glad that Connecticut took this leap and really made this change. I hope that the rest of the country follows suit. But again, there's always going to be people pulling against the grain and trying to prevail as dictating what history should be taught or who should fall in love with who or what gender is allowed to be expressed. But the fact that we are constantly moving forward does give me hope for the future. It definitely does.
It does. I want to say not only language, but garments that people wear. You know, there's a lot of heteronormative things that were burned into our brain. And I think of something that just came out, Lakeith Stanfield. He just came out with a new photo shoot. And everybody's kind of like in an uproar because in one of the pictures he has on like some lace stockings with like his suit or whatever he has on. And I mean, people were mad. People were like, what is happening to our men? They're doing this to our men and yada, yada, yada. Right. And so, like you said, like even with the whole, the gender thing and, you know, sometimes I just think like, you guys, these are garments. Garments do not dictate their clothes. And I'm a huge, now, if you know me, you know, any given day, I am going to be wearing whatever it is I want to wear, whether that is like some type of loose tomboy situation fit, if this is some type of baggy pants, sweatshirt, if this is a tight, you know, a tight top, crop top, like I wear whatever I want to. And people make their assumptions. People make their assumptions about my sexuality based on what I wear. And I think it's very, very interesting because if you really think about it, it has nothing to do with it. It's kind of crazy that we, you know, as a society for so long have been under these constraints, under these rules, these imaginary rules about what items of clothing men can wear, what items of clothing women can wear. So it's not even just the language, it's the aesthetics, whether men are allowed to wear makeup or not, whether men are allowed to paint their nails or not. And so you have a lot of women, men, and everyone in between challenging these things right now. And I think it's an amazing thing. I'm for it. And I'm going to tell you one thing, because I feel like it's all in the era that we're in. Because if you think about back to the 80s, if you think about Prince, the 70s and the 80s, and you think about Prince and he wore heels, and think about how amazing and a role model, not a role model, but you know.
Yeah, well, he had men dressing like him. He had women dressing like him.
That's what I'm saying. He was a movement. And so you think about people like Prince, and you know, it took Prince, you know, however long to get his flowers. I think that in our world today, I think that we've moved backwards in that way. To where, you know, Lakeith comes out and he decides he wants to wear, instead of socks, he's wearing beautiful lace, like lace socks that come up to the knee, and he, you know, he crosses his legs and everybody is like, whoa, what's going on here? And I'm like, honestly, being yourself is the sexiest thing you can do to me. Period.
10,000%. I think we forget that there is like, there are some things creatively that express masculine energy and some things express feminine energy and some things express a little bit of both. But it was man's decision to subscribe feminine energy to women and masculine energy to man. While biology makes a subtle suggestion in terms of one thing being inserted inside of another, where dominance and submission lie, dominance and submission doesn't have to be male or female, and it doesn't have to be man or woman, and it doesn't have to be masculine or feminine. And I think that we're starting to get to this place where we're understanding that life exists on a spectrum of fluidity. Everything is fluid. Everything beautiful is fluid. And
balanced. Everything beautiful has a balance. It has a balance.
Very balanced. And it's hilarious to me. Well, it's not hilarious. It's kind of sad, but it is something laughable when I see people making the decisions to express who they are. They're not asking for anything in return. They're just taking a picture and putting on some stockings, and that's how they feel, whatever they was expressing. Maybe they felt sexy, maybe they was making a statement, whatever the case may be, that's what they felt. And for people to then internalize that and say, what's happening to our men? How is this an action relating to all men? You know what I'm saying? And even if you yourself have observed that there is more fluidity in men, why do you then think that there's a problem with all men instead of thinking, well, hey, maybe I should be thinking about this differently? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy how you can look at the world changing and progressing and growing and crossing over and still think that there's something wrong with everybody except for you. I'm going to go back and listen to that entire episode because I'm not having this shit. I'm not having it. Okay. We're going to jump into some conversation even earlier on in our journey with the bridge. And this is Fear Factor Part 2 with Sam. And we talked a lot about the dating scene post-pandemic. This was one of our earlier shows, and I have the nostalgia itches, so I'm so excited to explore this one.
I never looked at like fear in that way, as far as, you know, filtering yourself and filtering your thoughts. I actually had like an opposite approach. And so, you know, as a child and even as an adult, like it's been a little harder to relate to people and to make friends, because in my mind, there's no point in me holding anything back from who I am. And I find that to be more an outlier than anything else. So I always kind of felt different in that way, because that's not quote unquote normal, you know, that's abnormal. And for me as an adult, I would say that it's increased. You know, I do now care what people think of me and how I'm perceived in the world. And that just kind of happened with time. And I feel like it happened with experience. And one thing that I admire about kids, and one of the reasons why I still work with kids, is that, you know, they're so pure. A lot of them don't have that filter where they're afraid to share themselves. And that always is inspiring to me, because kids live without a lot of fear. And, you know, they learn these right. Fears along the way. So you have like, you know, 2 and 3 year olds, like, doing some crazy stuff. You know, you'll find some stories of a 2 and a 3 year old, they're going to walk up to the roof because they don't have that fear, you know, and it's obviously really dangerous, but they don't know that.
To them, it's they sitting on top of the world. They just up
it's
there.
Pretty so. Up here.
Right. And it's really, I feel like it's life that kind of brings you down. And I mean, it should, because that's dangerous. But in other ways, I feel like life brings you down in other ways, psychologically. And I don't think that's always a good thing. I think that to a certain extent it is, but then you have those, you have, it reminds me of, we're going to move back to Rugrats. It reminds me of Chucky. He has an irrational fear of literally everything. And you know, that's just kind of like how some adults live their life to this day. So it's really tough, and trying to build relationships like that, it's almost impossible. Lasting relationships and
lasting.
Keyword lasting.
Yeah.
And I think that's that. And I say that because a lot of people being in a long-term relationship, it takes a lot more intentionality. than just dating just to date, or, you know, just to hook up or whatever. Because there's certain layers of yourself that you do not have to disclose at all. You know, if you're just chilling out with somebody for 2 months, 3 months at a time, you know, but that authenticity comes to the surface over a period of time and over a period of time spent with a person. And I don't think a lot of people like that. That back bounces right back to that vulnerability. It's like the minute they feel like, wow, so this, I can't even say mask, because I don't want to say it as if everyone's being disingenuous, but it's just like, okay, now there are other lights that this person is going to have to see me in. Am I okay with that? You know, like, especially holidays, like you find like a lot of people think, oh, holidays is so sentimental, so romantic. No, there's it's a lot hard. Of breakups that happen. Yeah, a lot of breakups that happen in the holiday season. Yeah. I feel like there's a certain, like, when you're considering people's family, being around family members, and just certain feelings that stir up around the holiday season, there's a certain level of vulnerability that comes with that. And I don't think a lot of people, especially in our generation, I don't think a lot of people like that vulnerability. It's scary. It's that it's, you can't control, because you can't control how the other person responds to that part of yourself that you're about to unveil, right? You know? Yeah. So that's also that fear of rejection too. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, I'm about to show you this part of myself, and it's literally, the ball is in your court of whether you accept it or not. And it's scary.
Yeah.
You know?
That type of fear is what you would consider like a calculated fear. And that's typically like a common sense feeling, or like a gut feeling of failure, feeling of regret, or rejection. Calculated fear is like based on the psychological assumption about what the gain or loss is and the risk that you're about to take, if that makes sense. So it can be felt in things like taking a chance on someone in a relationship, gambling, moving to a new city, performing on stage, about to take a test. All of those things forces the likelihood of whether things will turn out good or bad. And it forces you to ask the question, is this risk worth taking in the first place?
Our last segment is from a red light district moment from episode 6, entitled Take You Higher Part 2 with India Sims. Now, we start talking about some weird ass masturbation facts that I found online, and it goes a little something like this. Hit it. So today for the Red Light District, we are going to continue our self-care theme, and we're going to talk about masturbation. we're going to go there today. So first of all, I wanted to just get into some really crazy facts that I did not know about masturbation. Now, I don't know who I would have to explain this to, but
I'm sorry, time out. Y'all didn't see Shannon's eyes. He gave the mean cut across.
But I'm going to just for shits and giggles, I'm just going to say, if you're listening to this and you don't know what it is, masturbation is the act of pleasuring yourself sexually. Okay. And I'm just going to say, I'm a huge masturbation advocate, but masturbation has a huge stigma attached to it. And that has a lot to do with like how history has treated masturbation. Like, it literally used to be like an offense punishable by death in some places, like in the 17th century, in the 16th century. So that's actually one of the things that, one of the crazy facts about masturbation that I wanted to share. But there are, you know, a couple of cool things that we can talk about masturbation. So first of all, International Masturbation Month is in May. Did y'all know that there was an international, there's an International Masturbation Month and it's May, M for May, M for masturbation. Okay. So in May, go ahead and get yourself ready for a little, what we like to call a private party.
I'm calling out of work all May.
Let's motherfucking go. Listen, masturbation May is going down. But the thing about masturbation is that not only is it pleasurable, but it's actually healthy for you. And if you did not know, masturbation decreases the chances of prostate cancer in males. So that's one of the fun facts that you didn't know about masturbation. It also prevents cervical infections in women. And for both, it reduces depressions because, of course, it releases endorphins, those really euphoric, those happy hormones, endorphins, oxytocin, and they can even strengthen your immune system. So y'all, masturbation is actually good for you, because I know a lot of people out there who still feel embarrassed, whether they maybe grew up in a certain religion that looked down on masturbation. I know that a couple of religions like prohibit masturbation. There's a lot of guilt that comes along with it, but it is a very natural and beautiful thing. And also in women, it's a natural way to ease menstrual cramps and it lowers the risk of type 2 diabetes. Did y'all know that?
Okay. Wow. I know whenever I'm on my periods when I am the most.
Get real horny. Yeah. We get real horny. That's the same thing for me. I actually get extremely horny on my period. And it's a natural thing. But, you know, if you're having intense menstrual cramps, it can actually help those hormones that are released help with those cervical contractions that you're feeling. So another crazy fun fact about masturbation is, did you know at least 1,000 people die each year trying to choke themselves during masturbation? It's called autoerotic asphyxiation. So 1,000 people die trying to choke themselves, trying to get off. All right. So y'all just be careful with that. All right. Also in men, y'all got to be careful because you can break your penis from too much masturbation. Now, there are no bones in the penis, but I think it's like the fissures in the penis act like bones. Like they look like if you fracture them, they look just like a fractured bone. And so your penis can be like given 90 degree angle, like it can break. So please be careful. Yes, please be careful. Don't overdo it. I know a lot of people who masturbate a lot feel like they're addicted to masturbation. And if that's the thing, because you can be addicted to anything that you do too much. But I think with masturbation, it is important. But I think that if you're prone to addiction, you have to give yourself parameters. You know, I'm going to do it on Fridays. You know, I'm going to take myself on a date and I'm going to give myself a sexy bath or a sexy shower and it's going to go down. So just make sure that if you are masturbating, that you make it a special occasion for yourself. You know, I think it's really important to, like, you know, love yourself like you would want to be loved by somebody else or like you would want to give love. I have a couple more facts here that I think are absolutely insane. So I did want to share and get you guys' opinion on some of this. First of all, did y'all know that graham crackers were invented to treat and prevent masturbation?
What?
Graham crackers.
Is the cinnamon stopping it?
I don't
That's
know.
That's a good question.
Like, I don't know what the y'all, because they used to think, because masturbation used to be considered a disease. It was considered a disease, an ailment that you are afflicted with. So people were coming up with like different remedies. John Kellogg, the person who made fucking cornflakes, Mr. Kellogg.
Lost his legs.
Mr. Kellogg. Let me tell you about Dr. John Kellogg and his sadist ass. So he's the inventor of cornflakes, and he published a whole bunch of books on anti-masturbation. He believed that red meat increased sexual desire and advocated the consumption of his cornflakes to prevent masturbation. I kid you not. He also, a couple of different things other than eating cornflakes, he would sew the foreskins of young boys with silver wire so they wouldn't masturbate. He proposed in some of these books to burn women's clitorises with carbolic acid. He also pumped several of his patients' anuses with yogurt using his enema machine. So this guy was a fucking psychopath, you guys. And
it's not making sense.
That doesn't make sense, but he was doing all of this as preventative measures for masturbation. It sounds fucking crazy, but in 17th century Connecticut, you could get the death penalty for masturbating, y'all. Penalty.
Why is he using all these foods? Like, what does yogurt and the anus have to do with it? He was really just messing with these people.
That's what I'm saying. He used yes.
And if he knew correctly, red meat is actually what is why a lot of men can't get up after a certain age because of what they're eating.
I think what he was going for, I think he was trying to eliminate the sensation of arousal.
Yes, because they say that
they say, like, I'm thinking with the clitoris being a center of arousal, foreskin is also significantly more arousal, and then the yogurt acts like a probiotic. So I imagine saturating the prostate with it is probably like a numbness, but that's also going to develop affection, but it'll reduce that. So I'm wondering if that's where he was going with it.
That actually makes a lot of sense, but just know that there was some crazy shit going on. There were a lot of period. There were a lot of different advocates. Like, on the other hand, there were like people like Mark Twain. There was a woman, this was like in 1972, there was a black woman who came out. I feel like I cannot remember what her position was, but she was like in Congress or something, and she came out as an advocate for masturbation, and she wanted to include masturbation in sex education and felt like the kids should be taught about it, and she definitely got fired. So we have come a long way with masturbation. So you all, that's not the vibe anymore. We're pro masturbation. So what I want to suggest to you all is, you know, go get you some toys. All right. Because toys, you know, the innovations right now are amazing. We're in the future. Okay. So you don't have to just use your 10 digits anymore, ladies, gentlemen. You don't just have to use, you know, your favorite hand.
Thank you so much, homies at home, for joining us for that memory lane. We had so much fun sharing some of these highlights of our best of from season one. And we're looking forward to connecting with you guys for season two. If you haven't already, make sure that you follow us on Instagram at The Bridge Millennial Podcast, where you can catch up with everything that we're doing and even catch some more clips of our latest episodes as well. You can also follow me on Instagram at Robert St. Michael. And you can check out Shannon on Instagram at I am Shannon Ashlia. Now let's go ahead and spell that out, because her name is not Shannon Ashley. It's Ashlia. Okay. So that's I am S-H-A-N-N-O-N-A-S-H-L-I-A. And yeah, thank y'all for kicking it with us. And we will be so excited to bring you guys on the show. If you're interested in joining the season two or three, hit us up. Send us a DM. Let us know what's up. And if you are one of those people who are on Twitter, we will be on Twitter at The Glitch Homie. We don't really tweet that much, but we're there. You know, we are definitely there. So if that's how you're feeling, then pull up on us. But thank y'all for kicking it with us. And we will catch y'all in the next episode. Peace
I just want to add, I be lurking on Twitter. I'm trying to get back into the rhythm of Twitter, y'all. Lately I've been lurking on Twitter, and Twitter is a great place for like random conversations to arise and threads to be started. So I'm actually thinking we might be a little bit more active in a few. So definitely keep your eyes on our Twitter if you are into Twitter. I think Twitter might be making a comeback in my life. And so subsequently, the Bridges life. But thanks for joining us again. And we gonna holler at y'all next time. We got a something special for all my singles for the next episode. So please stay tuned. We got something special for y'all because we love y'all. Bye.
Bye.